thing happens. And some people, like when they see something happening or anything before the time and then later they experience the same thing, it's because they have just experienced the traveling of their soul before them, and they have right. seen it in their dream.
Right. Dear Said, I must unfortunately interrupt you because we are out of time for today's program. I thank you for your insightful knowledge.
You're welcome.
I also thank the dear listeners for joining us in today's session. Yet again, this had been your host, Musa Al-Bahadali, and you had been listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Thank you for joining us.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. Imam Khomeini recommended believers and faithful people to correct and amend their ways in accordance with the teachings of the Holy Scripture of the Holy Quran by acting upon divine commands. Imam Khomeini says, "Actually, man would not recklessly run wild if he considered it all likely. He needed not have certainty that which is reported in the Noble Quran is right, the promises and the threats, and that he should amend his ways and deeds." Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, he has PhD on Islamic science.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We are with another golden saying of Imam Khomeini. Today we will talk about his viewpoints in regards to the propagation of Islam. Imam Khomeini has said that enhance the teachings of Islam
among the people, for at the top of affairs are these teachings of Islam, and if they are set right, all other matters shall follow suit. We are talking about the propagation of Islam and the teachings of Islam and spreading the words of Islam. Within the Islamic teachings, we know that it is known as Amar bil Ma'ruf wa Nahi anil Munkar, means order for the good and forbid from the forbidden things. So stop from the forbidden, order to the good and stop from the forbidden. We know that in Islam, the teachings are very important, and the civilizations, the cultures, the people who advance, it's based on the teachings. And since Islam is a complete religion about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that Al-Yawm Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati, today we have completed your religion and the blessings, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا, and Allah said that He is happy for Islam. He wants Islam to be the final religion. So this is the wordings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty Allah. Then obviously we should spread the words of Islam.
يَا رَبَّنَا صَلِّ عَلَى
صلى الله عليه
صل
يا رسول الله
يا ربنا صل على طه النبي وآله.
It is Islam that will take us to the peak, that will take us to the advanced levels, inshallah. So we need to propagate Islam, as Imam Khomeini also has emphasized on it. And we know that the revolution that happened or that was brought by Imam Khomeini was an Islamic revolution. And this revolution happened because he propagated Islam in his people in its true way. Therefore, he was a true leader and he has propagated the Islam. Inshallah, may Allah give us tawfiq to work for Islam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught in the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful rainy Sunday, November 7th, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where your views are read and presented through emails, letters, and messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is the Sunday program, is your program, so it's your views that are important. Keep us company until the end of the program. welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program, actually your program. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful and important to us because they enable us, they enable our technicians and engineers to provide a better service, a high-quality service, to our dear listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, Christian Ivanaj from Italy, and Don Glocka from the US. So, Arthur, Christian, and Don, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program, I will read their emails or letters. Here we have an email from Habib Klisli from Turkey, who has sent us an email. Habib, we have an email from Ge Hoybens from the Netherlands. I wish I'm right in pronouncing his names because I don't know Dutch. And here we have an email from Slovakia. This email is from Alexandra Bogdanova. And from Hungary, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Mata Holosi. And the last but not the least is an email from Robens Pedroso from Brazil. Robens is one of our regular listeners. Dear listeners of Listeners Special, please keep us company until the end of the program. I will be back with these kind letters and emails from around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and we have so many letters and emails from around the world. As I said, Habib Klisli from Turkey has sent us an email. Habib says, the only way to deal with the criminal USA is to deal with them with decisiveness. I'm so happy that the Iranian forces dealt with the American mercenaries in the Persian Gulf promptly and decisively. So please show them a lesson that they don't dare come back to the region again. Salam and warm greetings to you, Habib, from Turkey. Many thanks for sending us this email, and it's great that you care about the global developments, especially the developments happening in the West Asia region. As you said, Iran have to deal with the issue with decisiveness, and as the Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, IRGC's chief said, the United States is accustomed to suffering defeat after defeat from Iran, but has yet to learn a lesson. As you may know, the Americans are used to constantly suffering defeats at the hands of the Iranian people. But of course, this has not yet become a lesson for them. The decline of the United States of America has just begun. And on the contrary, we have increasingly been boosting political vitality and revolutionary enthusiasm. And our establishment has been reaching higher levels of power day by day. Thank God. Anyway, Habib Klisli from Turkey, many thanks for sending us this email, and many thanks for showing your thoughtfulness and your care and concern about the global developments, especially those happening in the West Asia region. Write to us soon and tell us more about the world developments, of course, and of course about the IRB English radio programs. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon, Habib from Turkey. And as I said, from the Netherlands, we have an email from Ge Hoyt Benz from the Netherlands. As I said, I wish I'm pronouncing in his or her names. Anyway, guest says, hello, Arab English radio staff. Many thanks for the nice EQSL verification that I received from you. I will keep listening to your radio and will send you my reception report. Greetings from the Netherlands. Salam and warm greetings to you, Gev from the Netherlands, and many thanks for sending us this email. And we're so happy that you enjoyed the EQSL card my colleague sent to you. That's great. So you keep listening to IRB English Radio, and that's great. My colleagues, of course, will soon send you an EQSL card. Write to us soon. And Gev from the Netherlands, why don't you tell us your views about our programs? Tell us which program or programs you like the best. Thank you for sending us this email. So, after a short break, I will be back with an email from Slovakia. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia has sent us an email. Alexandra says, greetings. I have sent you my reception report for the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. The broadcast was good and understandable. It was also audible. The signal strength was stable and most of the time unchanging. During the whole time I was listening, the audio was followed by one monotonous tone, most likely from another station. If you found this report useful, I would very much appreciate an EQSL card sent to my address. With best wishes, stay safe. Salam and warm greetings to you, Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia, and I sent my deepest appreciations to you for sending us this email. It was great. You know, you just described the quality of our programs in detail. As you said, the broadcast was good and understandable, and it was audible. The signal strength was stable, as you said. But you said there was a trouble, and the audio was followed by one monotonous tone, most likely from another station. Of course, we will refer to our technicians and engineers about this problem, but in general, it was great. Reflecting your views about the quality of our programs, I mean, of course, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Many thanks for sending us this email. Let this mutual relationship continue. Keep on listening to IRB English Radio and write to us soon. And tell us your views about the programs of IRB English Radio. Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia. Thank you. From Hungary, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Mata Holosi. Mata Holosi from Hungary says, dear IRB English Radio staff, I'm writing to you in order to share my reception report from the city of Debrecen, Hungary. After several failed attempts to tune in to your station because of bad weather, I was finally able to hear your radio station. If I might have a chance for a recommendation, please raise the volume, because unfortunately I hear other noises as well. If you think that my report was helpful and correct, I would very much like a QSL card sent to my address. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mata Holosi from Hungary. Thank you very much for sending us this email and, of course, sharing your views about the quality of our programs. After failed attempts, several failed attempts, you finally tuned into IRB English Radio, and that was great. My colleagues will soon, refer to this problem, as you said, raising the volume. They will fix the problem and raise the volume so that other voices and other noises could not be heard. Thank you for telling us your view about this problem. And my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card, because sending paper QSL cards is not possible because we are in the time of pandemic and we have to obey the rules and regulations of the national, of course, mail system. Anyway, Mate Holosi from Hungary, thank you very much for sending us this email. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon. And after a short break, I will be back with an email from Brazil from Rubens Pedroso. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. As I said, we have received an email from Rubens Pedroso from Brazil, one of our regular listeners, of course. Rubens says, "Dear friends at the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, I have had the pleasure of listening to your station during its transmission. I'm 50 years old. I will be grateful if you send me a paper QSL card, verifying my reception report. Would you please send me a letter or a card which confirms that I have really heard your station? Thank you in advance." Salam and warm greetings to you, Rubens Pedroso from Brazil, and thank you very much for sending this email to your radio, IRB English Radio. Of course, my colleagues can send you paper QSL cards or a palpable thing, actually a promotional item, because we are in the time of pandemic, but they will soon send you an EQSL card, and of course it's a pleasure to have you with us. Tell us your views about our programs in your upcoming emails or letters, and then we will soon send you an EQSL card. Rubens Pedroso from Brazil, stay with us please. And before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, I appreciate those of our great listeners who have sent us emails and letters from around the world, and of course reception reports, including Habib Klisli from Turkey, Ge Hojbens from the Netherlands, Alexandra Bogdanova from Slovakia, Mate Holosi from Hungary, Rubens Pedroso from Brazil, and of course Artur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, Kristen Ivanovic from Italy, and Dan Glocka from the US. Many thanks for being with us, and goodbye.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. 02013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with our Abbey English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll be discussing the commentary of the 23rd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Mu'minun, or the Believers. Now let's just listen to the related verses and then we'll be back. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. So when the horn is blown, no relationship will there be among them that day, nor will they ask about one another.
Brothers and sisters, we were talking about the 101st verse of chapter Mu'minun. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. And when the trumpet is blown, there will be no relationship between them that day, nor will they ask of one another. So the previous verses were about the barzakh, or the life in intermediate world. And now this verse is describing the day of resurrection and what the wrongdoers will feel in that resurrection and in that world. So it says, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ. There will be no relationship between them. They will not use the bonds and ties of this world. The kinship of this world is no longer effective in that world, and family relationships will be of no advantage to anyone. And as we said in the previous program, by having a look at other verses, even the mother would ignore her suckling child. And this is how people will feel that day. And at the end of the verse, it says, وَلَا يَتَسَأَلُونَ, nor will they ask of one another. One possible interpretation for this sentence is that they will not ask each other for help because they know that this request is not of any use. Some commentators have also said that the verse means that they will not ask each other about their lineage. And this is supported by the preceding phrase where it says, فَلَا أَنْسَبَ بَيْنَهُمْ. There will be no relationship between them. The first commentary seems more probable. Of course, there is no contradiction and conflict between the two, because it is possible that this sentence could refer to all of the meanings.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
Now, one question remains, and it is that in other verses of the Holy Quran, we read that people have different questions to ask of each other. For example, one verse of the Holy Quran says, "And some of them draw near unto others, mutually questioning." Or, "The inhabitants of paradise will ask the inhabitants of hell, what has brought you to this burning? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ." But why does this holy verse say, "Nor will they ask of one another"? وَلَا يَتَسَأَلُونَ. Is there a contradiction or conflict between these verses? The answer would be clear by having a closer look at the meanings of these verses. The point is that these two matters do not contradict each other. The first instance of questioning mentioned in this verse, I mean the 101st verse of chapter Mu'minun, verse in question, "Nor will they ask of one another," concerns the onset of the day of resurrection. And it is about the onset of that day and the phase before people are sent to paradise or hell. But the verses, the other verses we talked about, the other instances of questioning mentioned in the verses of the Holy Quran, for example, the inhabitants of paradise asking the people of hell, "What has brought you to this burning? مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ?" And they try to answer each other's questions. These types of sentences and these types of verses are concerning the situation after the reckoning. And it concerns the people of paradise questioning the people of hell. So now it has become clear that these two groups of verses do not contradict each other, because one of them is talking about the onset of the day of resurrection and the other group talking about a situation or phase after reckoning. That's it, dear listeners. We are done with the 101st verse of the chapter. In the next couple of verses, the Holy Quran talks about how the different deeds of the people in this world will affect their situation in their resurrection day. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hussain Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be examining a very controversial and touchy topic, and it is a question that often comes up in the minds of people, especially non-Muslims, and that question is regarding the relationship between Islam and violence. Nobody likes violence, and people expect religion to be non-violent, obviously because they think that God is very merciful and he's kind, and therefore the religion that he sends should also be kind and merciful religion, a non-violent religion. Maybe this is the underlying line of thinking in the minds of people. Expect religion to be something non-violent, essentially non-violent and peaceful. And obviously this is an assumption which is deeply influenced by the prevalent interpretation of Christianity, which is common today.
Aside from overlooking the historical factors which led to this interpretation of Christianity, we don't want to get into that. But we can examine this question and answer it in a number of different manners, in a number of different ways. And one way that we can examine that is this, and say that this word violence is a word which has a lot of, has been imbued with a lot of negative connotations, obviously. In order to answer this question, you can give an example. Let's say that you go to the doctor's office, right? Doctor's office, and the doctor, you say you have pain, you know, in a certain part of your body, and the doctor says, we have to take an MRI. The doctor takes an MRI, and God forbid, he comes to the conclusion that, you know, there's a tumor in you, and it has to be removed, right? It has to be removed through surgery. So you go to surgery, obviously, and the doctor, you're there, and the doctor, let's say, he picks up a knife. What would happen if this patient, or you as a patient, were to jump up and scream, hey, why are you being so violent towards me? Everybody would obviously laugh, right? See that this is, in this situation, right, where we are forced to use this knife and cut you open and take out this tumor if you want to live. Right? Similarly, Islam views certain individuals in society as a disease, which an incurable disease, which should be removed. And this removal can only occur through punishing them, or even in certain cases through their death. And if this is necessary in order for the general spiritual and worldly health of society to be retained, then this is necessary. And you can't necessarily characterize such actions and such punishments or such reactions towards such individuals by religion as being necessarily violent. We could equally characterize them as being preventive, as being defensive. Right? Let's say that somebody walked into your house with the intention of killing you, and you picked up a gun and you killed him. Right? Would we characterize this as self-defense or violence? Right. So these words with these connotations, in order to portray Islam as a violent religion, is definitely unbecoming and incorrect. Thank you for joining us on The Key. We're looking at Islam and violence. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Resistance forces have attacked a U.S. military base in Syria. This is the first time the illegal military installation located in El Tanaf was directly hit in what has been described as a coordinated operation using sophisticated weaponry. It comes just a few days after Israeli warplanes, flying from the direction of the American base, bombed Syria, leaving one Syrian soldier dead and wounding three others. It also follows a terrorist attack in central Damascus, which killed 14 Syrian military personnel. So why is this attack on El Tanaf so significant? This American base had never been attacked up until this point, so why now? How come Israeli planes decided to fly in from the direction of El Tanaf instead of the occupied Golan Heights like they usually do? And why did Israel just bomb Damascus using a surface-to-surface missile instead of the usual airstrikes? Does this mean a shift in the balance of power? Or are we seeing new rules of engagement being established on the ground? I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique. Syria has been at war now for 10 years, or I should say, the world has been at war with Syria for 10 years. We've had the United States, United Kingdom, France, Israel, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and others trying to overthrow the Syrian government through various means. As we now know, the biggest players in the war proved not to be so-called freedom fighters, as the media would have you believe, but foreign-backed terrorists, extremist Takfiri groups, funded, armed, and trained by the United States and its regional allies. With the help of Russia, Iran, Hezbollah, and the Hashd al-Sha'bi, or popular mobilization forces, Syria was able to push back against Al-Qaeda, Daesh, and other terrorist groups. And while the tide of the war swung in its favor, and the Syrian government has largely taken back most of Syrian territory, the war has also taken on a new dimension. In June 2020, the Trump administration imposed the Caesar Act sanctions on Syria, designed to suffocate the Syrian people. These sanctions have caused hyperinflation and the value of the Syrian pound, the lira, to plunge significantly. At the same time, the United States is also occupying some of Syria's most precious resources, its crops and oil fields, mainly in the northeastern and eastern regions of Hasake and Deir ez-Zor. The goal of this is to starve the Syrian people in the hopes they rise up against the government in discontent. So in addition to sanctions, hyperinflation, and a devaluated currency, Syrians are deprived of accessing their own crops, oil, and gas. And while Syria is not a significant or major producer of oil and gas when compared to other countries, oil is still a precious resource which accounts for around 25% of government revenue, according to the IMF. As it illegally occupies Syria, the United States has a whole network of bases which just so happen to be right where Syria's oil and crops are. What a coincidence. The United States regularly steals this oil and smuggles it through the El Walid border crossing with Iraq, a country it has occupied since 2003. At the same time, the U.S. ferries supplies regularly from its Iraqi bases into Syria, with reports of U.S. convoys, trucks, and tankers driving in broad daylight. In addition to all this, there is one base that didn't get a lot of attention until now. It is the U.S. garrison at El Tanaf. Situated in the Homs governorate, the base lies just a few hundred kilometers from the Syrian capital, Damascus. The base is not just a threat by virtue of being a military base of a foreign occupying power, but also because of its strategic location. El Tanaf sits on the M2 highway between Damascus and Baghdad, and near Syria's borders with Iraq and Jordan. This is designed to deprive the Syrian government, and by extension the Syrian people, of logistical, economic, and military capabilities, while also controlling what flows into and out of Syria in regards to occupied Iraq and Jordan, an ally of the United States. To get a better idea of why this space is so important, I want to bring in Leif Ma'rouf. He's a Lebanese journalist, international affairs analyst, and media policy consultant. He's worked a long time in media, radio, television, and print, and has been an activist on Palestinian and Arab rights in the West. Leif, thanks for being with us. Before we get into the attack on El Tanaf, could you perhaps break down what the purpose of this illegal military base is, especially given its geographic location? You know, it's right on the border between Syria, Iraq, Syria, Jordan. Why did the Americans put it there? What implications does it have besides being a military installation?
Well, definitely, if you look at the map, it's clear. They put it on the triangle between Iraq, Syria, and Jordan. There's a main highway that connects Baghdad to Damascus that passes through there. And that means that this is the main route of trade between not only Iraq and Syria, but also all the way to Iran. So the idea for the Americans to put this illegal occupation base in El Tanaf is to make it costly for Syria to have any economic and or military relationships with Iraq and Iran. So now, if you notice, the only open trade route for between Iraq and Syria is in Abu Kamal, in Deir ez-Zor, which is hundreds of kilometers north of that. So the route of trade to Damascus, to Baghdad, has an added 8 hours of driving because of El Tanaf being where it is.
On the night of October 20th, the illegal U.S. military base at El Tanaf came under attack from suicide drones. Now, these drones are not the kind that land and refuel. They're one way, so to speak, and designed to explode on impact. Al-Tanf was hit by 5 of these drones, according to sources of the Lebanese news channel El Mayadeen. The base was also hit by rocket fire, and the army barracks are reported to have been burned and destroyed. And as the photos show, the damage was quite significant and extensive. A military source from U.S. Central Command told Sky News Arabic that there were no casualties and that losses were only limited to material damages. Now, let's look at the timeline, because just a week earlier, on October 14th, Israeli warplanes illegally bombed Syria for the second time in the span of a week, killing 1 Syrian soldier and wounding 3 others. They struck an area just south of the ancient city of Palmyra, which is thousands of years old and located on the ancient Silk Road. Now, Israel bombs Syria virtually every week, but this time, instead of flying in from the direction of Lebanon and the occupied Syrian Golan Heights, Israeli warplanes reportedly flew in from the direction of the American base at Al-Tanf, which lies to the east, for the second time in a row, because this is the same direction they came in from when they bombed Syria the week before. Now, Laith, this attack on the American base at Al-Tanf, which is the first, if I'm not mistaken, it comes just a few days after Israel bombed Syria south of Palmyra, right? Twice within the span of a few days. Can you maybe expand on the significance of the attack on Al-Tanf and the context in which it took place?
It's very significant because it can reveal to you the actual purpose of this attack. Because, you see, the Israeli attack that you just mentioned happened from Al-Tanf. So the Zionist Air Force flew over Jordan into Iraq, stationed itself on top of Al-Tanf, and fired its missiles on Palmyra, on the military base in the T4, and also the phosphate factory, by the way. They attacked, civilian infrastructure in this situation. And they hid behind 2 civilian airlines, one of them going to Damascus, the other going to Beirut, to protect themselves from the Syrian air defenses. And this is the only reason, actually, they were successful. So they had the protection of both, one, the airspace that the United States is claiming for itself from the Tanf air base, and 2, the protection of 2 civilian airlines, and so the Syrian military and the Syrian government sacrificed its own members of its forces in order to protect the civilians in those airlines. They could have fired at the Israeli Air Force that was over Al-Tanf, but then there would have been the possibility of the civilian airplane. This was a message to the Americans, not only to the Israelis. The attack on Al-Tanf by the Syrian Air Force, Army and its allied forces, yeah, was a message to the Americans that this will not be allowed to happen again from their airspace.
But, some people have drawn comparisons between this attack on Al-Tanf and the one at Ayn al-Assad after General Soleimani was martyred. But if we talk about comparisons, perhaps we can go a bit further, right? Because it's like you said, the response afterwards from the Americans, well, where is it?
Nothing, saying that they're ready to, they will, have the response at the time that they choose. that reminds us of, the feeble responses from Arab states a long time ago, when they used to say, use this phrase, we'll respond in the correct time and place, and no response comes. So to hear it from the empire, it's a big change in reality that we are living today.
If there's to be a response, it'll be at a time and a place and a manner of our choosing, and we certainly won't get ahead of those kinds of decisions.
When we look at what happened at Al-Tanf, there were no casualties. However, the barracks were completely destroyed and burned. I believe the warehouses were targeted as well. So there were not only 5 suicide drones used, but rockets as well. What does this mean in terms of the sophistication of the attack and the rules of engagement? Is the resistance getting stronger by this metric? How does this change the balance of powers on the ground?
I'm glad that you mentioned the barrage of missiles, because this is very important. It was a tactical choice to fire a barrage of missiles prior to the drones hitting the base. So that confused the defenses of the base, And there was chaos on the ground in the base, and then suddenly, out of nowhere, the suicide drones hit the base in the midst of this chaos. So what did it send as a message to the Americans is that all weapons are now possible to be used against the American presence in Syrian territory.
You mentioned the shifting of forces and the balance of power in the region. Just recently, we saw the United States flee Afghanistan, but Al-Tanf was attacked, and you know the Americans still have a large military presence in Deir ez-Zor and Hasakeh, so eastern and northeastern Syria. They are occupying the oil and the crops there, the breadbasket region. Do you think they will leave that anytime soon? Will they leave Al-Tanf anytime soon?
So, you know, first off, in terms of what's happening in the northeast and Hasakeh and Deir ez-Zor, prior to even the attack on Al-Tanf, you know, a week before that or 2 weeks before that, there was an attack on the Conoco oil fields where the Americans have stations, their biggest base in the northeast. It was, again, drones and a volley of missiles. And again, that was a message to the Americans. So over the last week, almost every day, the Syrian military and civilians in Hasakeh and Deir ez-Zor cut the path of American convoys that were trying to go into different regions and push them back to their bases. So we know that on the ground in the northeast, it is not an easy job for the Americans to stay there. There's been multiple messages clearly that there is a local resistance that's building up. And if we couple that with the situation in Iraq, where the Americans had promised, maybe they're lying, but for now they promised that they will be withdrawing all their fighting force from Iraq by the end of the year. This will mean that it's the supply routes for the American troops in northeast Syria will end.
The Arab states and kingdoms you mentioned in the Persian Gulf recalling their diplomats from Lebanon, could you perhaps expand on how it connects to all this and how it could affect the resistance axis?
In terms of this schism within the imperial order that we see, this is festering. You know, people don't connect what happened in January 6th in Washington, D.C. to what's happening on Syria. But truthfully, Syria wasn't only successful in defeating the, you know, imperialist war, a decade of imperialist war in on the ground in Syria, but the actual victory of Syria has caused what we see globally right now, what's happening even on the coasts of China, what's happening on the border of Russia, what's happening in terms of the success in Yemen, all of that is owed to the success of the Syrian people, their military, and their government to resist for a decade one of the most brutal, you know, Contra wars that we've seen in history.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Communique is a program in which Richard Medhurst, the independent journalist and political commentator, gives his views of controversial issues of our time and interviews famous politicians and personalities. This program is broadcast every Sunday by IRIB English Radio.
Five days after the attack, we began seeing reports in the media blaming, you guessed it, Iran. The Associated Press put out an article titled, Officials, Iran Behind a Drone Attack on U.S. Base in Syria. Now, these anonymous U.S. officials say that, quote, they were Iranian drones and Iran appears to have facilitated their use. Right, so Iran facilitated their use. That's a bit vague, isn't it? What does that even mean? Did Iran specifically transfer these drones for this use? Did Iran provide coordinates, intelligence, fuel, paint and stickers for the drones? I mean, this is so vague. The average person who's reading this has no idea what it means. They would just take this at face value.